Welcome to The Hollywood Outsider, an award-winning weekly entertainment podcast available at thehollywoodoutsider.com. You can subscribe in any app you choose. This is a special episode where we're going to talk about the biggest movie in the world. Amanda Sink and myself, Aaron Peterson, sit down to debate the good and the bad of the recently released Disney reimagining? Sure. Of The Lion King, one of their biggest films of all time. So, without further ado, let's get on with the show. All right, now we are talking about The Lion King. This is a little bit of a, it's a lot of a spoiler cast. We're going to talk about Lion King, weapons hot and spoilers free. So here is, if you've never seen the movie, what? I don't really. But anyway, this is Aaron Peterson, and with me is Amanda Sink.
Hello, hello.
We just got back from, or we just finished seeing The Lion King, correct?
We did.
Which ironically came out the same day as the Cats trailer, a much worse attempt at a live kitty movie.
Ugh, it was bad. It was so bad. It was painful.
I kind of just want to talk about the trailer for like 20 minutes and just talk about my nightmares and how I'm sad inside.
I want to go back in time and never see that trailer.
No, I don't want to lose. That memory is going to be good for you later.
If we're going to put boobs on the cats, why do we only have two?
Were there boobs on the cats?
Yes. They were like endowed kitty cats.
Wow. All right. So The Lion King... After the murder of his father, a young lion prince flees his kingdom only to learn the true meaning of responsibility and bravery. Basically, Mufasa, he gets killed by his brother Scar, blames it on Simba. Simba feels bad. He runs off. He finds Timon and Pumbaa. They sing songs. He finds, what's her name?
Nala.
Nala. He finds Nala. They frolic. They take time to sing a song while their kingdom is falling apart. And then they come back and... Scar admits everything in the last second and everything turns around.
To be fair, they never had any like rejoiceful moment of seeing each other again after years and years and years had passed and 400 pounds later. I would be a little concerned why they didn't have that moment.
Well, let's just think about this for a second. So the first thing she says is you have to come back. What about your mom? The whole world is falling apart. Everybody's dead. There's nothing to eat. But you know what we got time for? Can you feel the love tonight? We got time for a little song and dance in the middle.
Through the waterfalls.
Yeah.
It was romantic.
Yeah. So we're going to talk a little bit about The Lion King. And again, you've been warned. There will be spoilers discussed. So, okay. Now, here is the first question that comes up. That was the basic plot. But I'm not kidding. If you saw the first movie, the original cartoon, you've seen this movie.
And mostly, yeah.
It's almost shot for shot in many, many respects. There's a couple new things.
A couple things that weren't in this one that were in the original.
What did you feel about doing this take of a remake? Because Jungle Book was very similar, and that was Jon Favreau as well. And I love Jungle Book. I like this movie. I loved Jungle Book because they did a few different things. Here it felt like I've already seen this movie. You're just doing it again. With better animation, I guess. So how did you feel about how they handled this?
Well, I was the first probably 20 to 30 minutes. That's like a third of the movie. I was really disappointed. Like,
it was a fourth because it's a 2-hour movie.
Okay. A fourth. Fourth.
I don't want to get into your maths, but I'm just letting you know how it's done.
Yeah. 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 Okay. Well, a fourth of the movie, it just felt like I was watching a Disney nature film. And there
That's
was
not necessarily a bad thing.
No, it means it looks pretty, but I also don't necessarily have any emotional impact of storytelling. I didn't really care about the characters that much. It was like Simba was really cute. Oh, but why is this voice actor so wrong for this? I don't know if I was alone in that, but I really felt like that young voice actor, J.D. McCrary, no offense to the dude, like his voice is fine. It just didn't fit with the
no offense
animated
to dude,
character.
But let me offend that dude. For a second, because you sucked as a young person.
Well, no, it was just the way that his voice did not match the character animation that I have on the screen. Like the two of them, I was like, this is definitely another human. This is definitely a human doing a voice for
All right,
a lion.
We'll get to voice actors. So,
okay. Well,
I'm talking just in terms of so close to the original story and almost shot for shot in many respects. There are a lot of shots that are literally recreated.
Yeah, the
most of them, I would say.
Mufasa's death is absolutely 100%. The cinematography is the exact same. I mean, you can actually find this.
I would say the cinematography is a little different because, I mean, it looks better now.
Well, no, I guess I just mean like the shot, like the camera shot, the way that they did it. that was exactly how they did it in the original.
Mm-hmm. That's the, what I mean by shot for shot.
Yeah, but it wasn't the whole movie. I feel like it was just, certain sequences. No, I was trying to give an example.
I was trying to give an example.
Of the exact moment. And it was, you know what? Whatever. It was supposed to be specific because you were so broad.
Anyway, how did you feel about this? I feel like we haven't even got to the answer to the question.
I've thought about this since before I saw the movie because I had seen a leaked video of that sequence. Yeah. And I thought about it like, this is a movie that is pretty much perfect in what it is. And I didn't even need it to be remade. So do I want it to actually have any changes to the story? Or would I rather just see this upgraded, modernized for this era without changes? Mm-hmm. So I've kind of had to sit between the two ideas of having them actually tamper with something that's so perfect to me.
The answer is...
Well, that's what I'm saying. Like, I don't know where I sit on that because there's two ways I feel about it. I feel both ways.
You feel equal both ways?
I do, because I wouldn't want them to mess with the original story, but I also feel like there was a lack of creativity.
I would have liked to have been surprised more, but that's more of a factor of because I know the cartoon so well. Or the original animated movie, not this animated movie. People say it's not live action. I can't make that case in my head when it's completely computer generated. So, and according to director Jon Favreau, everything but one shot is computer generated, and he doesn't want to say what that shot is.
Oh,
which is cool. It's a fun little game. It's probably the end credit. There's like one credit where it's like that was a guy holding the poster board. Haha, it was real. I don't know. Anyway, so I got accustomed to it as it went the first probably 10 minutes, especially because, you know, they recreate holding the baby up, which by the way, I just feel like dangling your son over the cliff. I thought that was a cartoon. It's just weird because somebody else is doing it. Why are you letting this crazy monkey hold your newborn son over a cliff? Maybe back up a step, you know, so if you do drop him, he lands on rock, not rock. That part always bothered me in the movie and now, but it's a great shot. After they recreated it, like, there's so many recreations that it takes a while to get into it. But once I got into it, I was fine. But it didn't feel like Jungle Book for me. Where Jungle Book always felt, like, more magical, I guess, mm-hmm. in a way. This felt more like you're just, for a large portion of it, I felt like you're just giving me what I already had.
Well,
and I didn't feel like there was any newness there.
This gorge is where all lions come to find their roar.
All lions? Even my dad?
Even Mufasa came here when he was your age. Refused to leave until his roar could be heard above the rim.
All the way up there?
That's when you know you found it. With a little practice, you'll never be called a cub again.
Watch this.
You'll get it, Simba. Just takes time. I'll check on you later.
Dad will be so proud, won't he?
It's a gift he'll never forget.
I don't want us to continue to compare it to Jungle Book, even though it's from the same director, but...
I mean, it's half the same movie. Hey, it takes place in the jungle, burns up at the end, same movie.
Sure, I guess so. But what I was going to say is that Jungle Book gave me some sort of passion and fueled inspiration for me. That's what sparked me wanting to write my first review for The Hollywood Outsider was everything that came out of that movie.
It's a full circle of life.
Funny. But this didn't give me that. This gave me, I don't even know that I really, I left the theater and I didn't even really feel like talking much about it because I was like, it took so long for me to get into it.
It's going to make this podcast weird.
Yeah. But it was like... literally the first quarter that I was sitting there and I was like, this is for sure going to be at best a 5 out of 10.
Oh, I thought it was better than that.
The first quarter of the movie.
Gotcha.
I felt like this is going to be a solid 5 out of 10.
But it picked up.
It did pick up.
Yeah.
And that's, I honestly give that credit to the characters growing older because it was the youthful Nala and Simba that I was like, this is just not working for me.
I don't disagree with you. Maybe Simba was a little... I felt like that was almost 80s sitcom voice, like a little kid.
No chemistry, no real, I didn't feel it. Now, of course, I still cried, like teared up, because how do you not? But I feel like that was more because I had the nostalgia of how I felt the first time I watched Lion King, and I was reliving this experience in a way. And when the characters started to get older and we had different voice actors and we have a whole, it was like the entire movie shifted into a different realm when they got older.
It immediately got better.
And then when Pumbaa and Timon came on screen, I mean, seriously, they blew me away and made me finally start enjoying what I was sitting here watching.
I will say, as it got, James Earl Jones is the voice for Mufasa. I will admit, nostalgia wise, that was like, oh, that was a happy place, because he, right. I can't picture anybody else doing that. Scar, Chiwetel Ejiofor, his name is, we're just going to say the guy who plays Scar. It's so much easier. He did a great job as Scar. I have no problem with any of that. It was really just like the childlike voices, and there was a little bit of a struggle with that for me, but I got used to it, especially when they were singing. Because when they were singing as lions, actually, anytime the lions were singing, I was fine with Timon and Pumbaa singing. I was fine with pretty much the Be Prepared song. I thought was really well done, because I did it kind of a little different and more of a growl and a marching order as opposed to a song, which is really cool. Circle of Life, I didn't like at all.
Watered down and short.
And it wasn't, Elton John did it so much better. I'm sorry, no fault to the singers that took it over. Elton John nailed that, and if you can't approach it, use the original. Just bring it out. Disney owns it. Bring it out. But when the lions were singing, this is what I was trying to get to, is what I noticed was anytime you see the lions singing, they would always show their voice whenever they try to hit a high note or go, they would show the lions trying to hit that note. So you'd see like a lion's mouth reverberate. Like they're trying to hit a note. And I'm like, I don't think lions would do this. I feel like that's a human thing that they do when they're singing.
Well, lions don't talk. I don't know if you didn't know about that.
I heard this. But I'm just saying, that was just like one step too far, where I'm like, whoa. I'll give you their talking and I'll give you your little song. I can't see like the vibrating mouth and not laugh. That just like,
I didn't notice that.
Oh man.
I felt like their mouths were a little bit too closed.
They do it like at least three times I counted, where they had like close ups where they're singing. They're trying to belt out a tune. They're belting out a high note, especially like, Can You Feel the Love Tonight? They both did that in that one. Cause you got Beyonce. So you gotta, you know, she's gotta mimic my Beyonce. No, she doesn't. She's not Beyonce. She's a lion.
Like you're being nitpicky.
No, that's not nitpicky. It was something that really like bothered me. I'm like, why is her mouth vibrating? Stop it. Just open your mouth and say the words and go move on, or just run, frolic in the forest.
Nitpicky on this.
Says the woman who talked about 15 minutes of nonsense, and because of that kid, I can't get past this.
No, it wasn't.
This movie sucks.
No, and I'm not saying it's because of the kid. I'm just saying that kid's voice with the animation just did not work together. And that's on John.
You should have
noticed that, because you're the one who made it.
That's what I'm saying about the singing thing. The voice, it goes too far. It's one step toward uncanny.
I have like the opposite reaction to the animation of the lions, because I felt like that was the only time when it felt real to me. Because when they were just talking, I was like, your mouths are not moving enough for you to get all those words out.
Maybe they talk like that.
I mean, maybe, I guess.
They're all
Clint
Eastwood.
And can we talk about how they have lack of emotion on their face? Like, the expressions were so dulled for a lot of the movie.
No, I don't agree with it.
Okay.
I don't. I've seen that critique from critics, so I was specifically looking for that, because I've seen that in a couple of reviews. Like, that's the headline.
Uh-huh.
No soul and everything else. I'm like, I felt fine. I mean, they were going for photorealistic. They kept the faces, except for the voice thing, the reverberating thing. Except for that, everything was mimicking what animals, for the most part, animals' facial features. So to have them look more animated and soulful and have emotional emotion on their face wouldn't look like a real animal.
All I need them to do is squint a little bit more or something and close their eyes or just do something that shows that they have some sort of emotional reaction. Because when they were sad or they were happy or whatever, those emotions all looked the same to me. It's like they went a step too far in animating it so that way it seemed hyper realistic. And that affected me. You know how when you start to watch certain things in 4K and you're like, this is just too real that it doesn't even feel like I'm watching a cinematic experience.
And it nature videos especially.
Yeah. That's what this felt like.
To you, not to me.
Yeah, well, this is my opinion. Yeah, I'm the one talking, so.
I'm just saying you're just talking about nitpicking. It feels like nitpicking
right
now.
Oh, my God.
I thought Timon was fantastically rendered.
Oh, my gosh, yes.
Well, that's not a lion. I thought Pumbaa was fantastically.
Well, I was talking about the lions.
You said everything. The lions are the only thing you thought that were well rendered.
No.
Or is it the other way around?
Other way around.
No. Well, then I definitely have to disagree with you. When you see the lions like playing, it looks like cats. They look like playful.
I agree with that. I'm talking about their face, and I'm talking about when they're talking. Those were the only two things.
But I don't need emotion in the talking of the tiger. It's just weird to me. I think that maybe that's where we're different, because to me, that completely takes me out of it. So when I see the reverbing in the mouth and they're trying to reach that note, and I'm like, no, stop it. And you apparently, it didn't even faze you. You didn't even notice it. You probably got finally emotion.
Well, look, okay, so let's just get into a little bit of science. There's something called mirror neurons. And when we see the expression on somebody else's face, that helps us feel that emotion and connect to it.
I get it.
Well, not everybody else knows what mirror neurons are, okay? All
most,
right?
Most people
some explaining
don't
it. No, they don't. But
I see somebody smile, I get happy.
Yes,
there you
exactly.
Go. I
need, for a movie like this that is about emotional impact, I need you to make me feel emotional impact. The fact that you're not making me cry when I cry at everything is not, that's not normal. I should have cried.
You didn't cry when Mufasa died.
I teared up. I did tear up. I did. But like I was saying earlier, I think that's more so because I felt the nostalgia of, it took me back to the time when I saw this as in the animated version, because it was so emotional and powerful in the animated version. I felt like this was watered down a little bit.
I definitely wasn't impacted as much. But that moment gets me, and I don't really...
It's so sad.
I really think it was very well done in this respect. There were a few moments where I thought the direction could be a little... near the end, there's a scene where... I'm trying to remember exactly how it played out.
What scene?
I'm trying to remember. It's near the end, and you get, basically the camera flies at Simba.
Oh my God, I forgot we're doing spoilers. I was trying to avoid talking about stuff.
Spoiling a lot of it. The camera flies at Simba, and it's basically a moment of realization as he realizes something. And I can't remember. I think it's that, I just figured it out. I just figured out that you killed my dad. And I'm not positive that's the moment, but there's a moment where a camera flies into Simba. And it just...
They did a flashback, but it was of the moment when Mufasa died, because Mufasa falls down, and then he's on the cliff, and it zooms into his emotion.
That looked bad.
Yeah, that is the scene I'm talking about.
Bad.
That was literally exactly how it was in the animated movie. That
most
zoom in,
of the movie
or
was.
Well, actually, I think it was a zoom in or a zoom out. It was a zoom in.
Zoom in.
That is how they did it in the original too, but it looked way better in the original because it wasn't so hyper real, realistic to
me. I agree with that. So that moment really took me out of the movie and there are a few moments like that. But overall, I thought the animation was visually stunning. It's definitely, they keep talking about it's a marvel, it's an accomplishment in cinema. That's what the filmmakers say. I will agree visually it looks that way, but I do think they probably have, if you're getting to the point where you want to create emotion with animals, you're probably gonna have to do a little bit more. I don't want more emotion, more emoting from my monkeys or anything. I want it to look, if you're gonna make an animal look like an animal, make it look like an animal. That's probably where we differ. You want to get more feeling out of it.
Well, I mean, it's already, at this point, it's not real. It's not like it's real animals. If it was real animals and I was watching them in, like I said earlier, a Disney nature film, then that would be one thing. But already my animals aren't real because they're talking.
People think are going to think they're real animals, and Disney's presenting it like it's going to
look. Okay, one critic thought that they were real animals.
No, I'm saying, but they're presenting it so that it looks as close to real animals as you could get. So they're recreating the original movie that you love for today's audiences with today's effects, and da-da-da-da-da. I actually think it might have worked better had they not included all of the songs. Maybe just a couple of them, and definitely Hakuna Matata, because that one worked brilliant.
That was perfect.
That one, Be Prepared, those are really the only two songs I feel like worked for me, personally. What about you? How did you feel about the soundtrack, I guess, is what I'm getting at.
There were a couple that I wasn't super crazy about. Hakuna Matata was definitely the best. And that was...
I think it was better than the original. I'm saying it on record.
That's because Seth Rogen.
Timon. Timon. I think Timon was way better here. Freaking nailed it. Billy Eichner,
that's
I believe
true.
His name
is. Yeah, it is.
And he had a wonderful singing voice,
which
I was stunned by.
But
and
he
I'm
had
like,
so much...
Who are you? I don't know you. Who are you?
He had so much acting behind that voice, even when he was singing. Like I felt like I could visualize if it, even because there's moments where he's singing, but you don't see his character. And I felt like I could still see his character because the way he executed it was so beautiful. I agree. Yeah. That one was spectacular.
Yeah. That was magic. And Be Prepared, just because, like I said, they did it a little different. I respected that. The other ones I didn't think were that great.
They're all right.
They were okay. They're fine. But anything that was Elton John sung, I think, was better with Elton John. And I will say, Can You Feel the Love Tonight? Everybody's going to be raving about it because it's Beyonce. I thought it was better than the original.
I thought it was all right. That's what I'm saying.
I didn't
None
think
of
it was
them
bad.
Blew me away.
Like, her voice is, except her voice is great. I just didn't get the emotional resonance from it.
Yeah.
It's hard. Don't you think it's kind of hard to get behind lions singing when they look real?
Yes. That's why I wanted them to look less real.
To look more animated, like CG, like Pixar?
No. I feel like it was way too finely focused. That it was like, as beautiful as this is, it's too real for me to feel like this isn't real. Does that make sense?
No, not even a little bit.
It made me feel, because of the visuals, because of how clear and realistic the visuals were.
Right.
I felt like I was watching real animals.
Oh, so the fact that they're talking and singing
I'm
is
like,
just
this
weird
is
for
just,
you.
Yeah, I'm like, you are trying to go two different routes for me. You're trying to make this as reality-based as possible, as if I'm actually in the jungle with these animals. And I will say the jungle part is the most amazing and beautiful part, the actual landscaping, just like in Jungle Book. Now, I'm not going to say that this beats Jungle Book in terms of visuals. It 100% does not. This still does not stand even a step of a stone to Jungle Book's visuals.
In some aspects, I think it does. In some aspects.
Not to me.
Okay.
I really did like... So at the end, when Simba has all of the rainwater all over his hair, and you can see every single little speck of water that's like dripping or attached to the hair, and the way the hair is finally, you know.
I believe they call it a mane in the jungle.
Okay.
We're going to get technical, you know, let's keep it real.
All right. Well, the way his mane started to stick together from the water, and you could see all the little water drops and all of that, that was visually stunning. I looked at that and I was like, that's amazing. So pretty.
It is pretty. One thing that cracked me up with those, I was looking at the credits. This is off topic, but Jeff Nathanson wrote this movie, and I'm like, it's the same movie as the last one. So I really don't know exactly what that means.
Well, they changed. I mean, dialogue is different. Also, speaking of dialogue,
so much.
Did you
lot
feel
of,
like
but he also,
some cheese?
He also came up with the story for Crystal Skull. So,
oh boy, you shouldn't
What's
have
it?
Said that.
Well, that's why his name stood out to me. But what were you saying?
Didn't you feel like the dialogue at times, a few times, was a little too cheesy? Where I was like, oh, boy.
No, because, okay, here's the thing. It's a kid's movie. It's always meant to be a kid's movie with a heavier story. And there was nothing that really bothered me about anything.
Except
it was more the delivery than it was the lines.
Lions, attack. I was like, are they Power Rangers now? What is going on?
Okay, that might... Maybe.
And again, I guess that could be the delivery, but I really felt like that character was completely fine the whole time. It was just that moment. And I was like, that just feels so cheesy. Lions attack.
I'm pretty sure that was in the original.
I don't care. It was bad.
Yeah.
It was cheesy.
It didn't bother me. I feel like you're nitpicking. You're being a little hypercritical.
Maybe I am. So what?
It was fine. This is the epitome of it was fine to good.
Yeah.
It's not a movie I think is going to blow anybody. Well, visually, it'll blow people away. I could see being overwhelmed with visuals because visually, a lot of aspects are stunning.
When they're in the jungle with
the mighty
Pumbaa and
jungle.
Timon.
The dying sleeps
tonight.
Well, you said.
Yeah.
I was following, but you know,
yeah.
Whatever.
No, but that part was, it was so amazing. That like, that was the, those were the standout scenes to me. Like when I think of this movie, which I only just saw like 2 hours ago, I started sitting down to watch it.
Mm-hmm.
So this is still very fresh. But I feel like there's already so much that just kind of sat away from me where I'm like, meh, kind of forgettable. But those scenes that had Timon and Pumbaa and they were in the jungle with Simba and even with Nala a little bit,
mm-hmm.
those were the ones where at those moments, those scenes where I was like, oh, that's great. And also,
yeah, I would say Donald Glover and Beyonce were way better than young versions of themselves.
They were
very good.
But Zazu was great, too. John Oliver.
Oh, John Oliver.
Amazing.
Yeah.
Like, I could not.
I did not know because I didn't look at the voices right away before I saw it. So. I was because I like to do that game when you see an animated movie where it's like, I want to figure out who's in this. I don't like to look ahead of time.
Uh-huh.
And I had no idea. But as soon as I recognized John, because I watch John Oliver every week, I'm like, oh, we're going to get Trump jokes. It's going to be so weird in a kid's movie.
The character worked so well for him where it was like time for the news.
It was him.
Well, I know. But I'm saying like I wouldn't have ever thought of John Oliver should be in The Lion King. And then when I saw him in here, I was like, he's one of the best characters. He was literally probably like my second or third favorite character.
Who's your favorite character? That means one, by the way.
You know what? Are you sure? Because they're a pair.
Positive. You pick one. I'm going with Timon. It's easy. I don't even have to think about it. Pumbaa would be number two. So there's your pair.
Yeah, it's just a matter of who beats who out. I feel like I would put Pumbaa up there because I laughed more.
I don't understand.
But Timon was more of like...
quick and funny.
Yeah. Yeah, but Seth Rogen, like, he always gets me. And that could be because of my affiliation with him, where I'm like, oh, I love everything he does. He just always makes me laugh, his delivery. When he started laughing, like, the Seth Rogen laugh.
The entire audience laughed at everything. Yeah, like, when he's, yeah.
This is so great. Oh, my gosh. Like, I never would have ever pictured in my lifetime that somebody like Seth Rogen would be laughing as Pumbaa. And it was great.
It was a pleasant surprise because, I'll be honest, when I first realized it was Seth Rogen, I'm like, I don't like too many stars behind voices because it can take you out of it. And that's, mm-hmm. those are two iconic characters.
Right.
So I was walking in going, those are the two characters because I only knew James Earl Jones was Mufasa. And I'm like, okay, I can deal with that. Although that's kind of weird seeing as you're supposed to be making a whole new movie to use the same, but whatever, because it's, who cares, James Earl Jones, you're not going to top his voice.
Right.
But when I found out that they're, you know, Timon and Pumbaa are going to be in this and they're going to be voiced by different people, I'm like, oh, who are they going to do? And then I heard Seth Rogen, and I love Seth Rogen, but I'm like, well, that's going to take me out of this. Really going to take me out of it. And he won me over in like 5 seconds.
Yeah.
5 seconds. And him and Billy Eichner just like do this magic together. They saved a moment. Because I felt like I was getting away from the movie. That was after Mufasa died and he breaks away. I felt like they didn't handle it mm-hmm. right.
I agree.
It didn't feel like I understood why this kid would just bail. I mean, it just didn't hit me hard enough, I guess. I know why. I know the story.
Right.
But I don't feel like he sold it. I don't think mm-hmm. John Favreau sold that moment. And it's a big moment. You got to basically say he has to feel responsible for his dad's death and he has to understand why he has to leave. And I think Scar delivered. I don't necessarily think the moment delivered. So as soon as he left and everything, I'm like, ah, oh, I didn't like how they did that. And then Timon and Pumbaa show up and, you know, save him from the vultures or whatever and save the movie for me. Like, seriously, like I was starting to fade away from the movie to where I don't know if I'm going to like this now because that was a huge moment. And I feel like you nerfed it.
That I will they say that's it. When that's exactly when I got back into the movie, too. So I guess they did a great job with that part.
I want to see their spinoff. I think they had like direct to DVD movies or something of those two when the cartoon came out.
Oh, yeah.
I would love to see them get a TV show or something for
that
from
would
this.
Be awesome.
I would watch it every week or stream it.
They were so funny. They when the two of them together, it felt like, because obviously their voice actors are probably not recording all of their lines together. And just somehow it felt like they were a pair every time that they did their lines. They just felt so perfect for their roles.
Mm-hmm. I missed them! I'm gonna get one of those vultures one day! I'm gonna get one!
I don't know why it's so important to you.
I just feel like it would make me feel better. Oh no, it's a little lion!
That is not a lion.
Well then go check it out, what is
that
it?
That is not a lion, it's a furry bird!
It looks like a lion!
That's not a lion, let me get a closer look, excuse me. Oh, alright, let me see what we're dealing with here. It's a lion! Run for your life, Pumbaa!
Wait, Timon! It's a little lion!
It gets bigger!
Can we keep him? Can we please keep him? Okay. I promise. I'll walk him every day. If he makes a little mess, I'll clean it up.
You'll be his little mess. He's gonna eat you and then use my body as a toothpick.
But one day, when he's big and strong, he'll be on our side.
I've got it. What if he's on our side? Hear me out! Having a ferocious lion around might not be such a bad idea.
Well, then, can we keep him?
Yes, of course we can keep him!
My God,
who is the brains of this operation?
We're gonna name him Fred!
Did you grow up with Lion King?
Yeah.
Was it a favorite of yours or no?
It wasn't like my top favorite, because...
What's the top?
Honestly, it's because we know how I am with picking a favorite. It was probably a tie between Sleeping Beauty and Little Mermaid. Loved Sleeping Beauty. Hmm. Loved watching it on VHS.
Well, I didn't want like a whole dissertation on your youth. I'm just asking. I'm just curious.
But it was probably in like my top five,
right,
for sure.
This is definitely probably like top three for me. I just, mm-hmm, I love the movie. I love how they handle it. It's father-son story. It gets me every time.
Yeah.
Feeling guilty, overcoming, you know, it's just like it speaks to me on a personal level.
And like, this is my life.
Well, minus all the
killing your father thing.
Being in charge. No, I don't think my dad's still alive, so that would be weird.
As I said, minus feeling guilty for your father's death.
So I was hesitant about, because I'm not really on board. I don't love these remakes. I mean, I've liked them. I loved Jungle Book, loved Cinderella, liked Beauty and the Beast. Everything else has been kind of hit or miss, I guess. This is a big one for me. I'm like, man, if you're gonna do Lion King, you gotta nail it. And when they said Jon Favreau was behind it, that really had me, because he did Jungle Book,
right? Agreed.
Which is my second favorite adaptation, because Cinderella is my favorite.
I still haven't seen that one yet.
And oh my God, it is absolutely magical.
I just haven't seen it yet.
Absolutely magical.
For shame.
Now that I've seen it, I do feel like Jon Favreau is the right guy for these. This one was too close to the real thing. They adhered too close to the source material. They didn't break away enough. They needed to take their own chances in some spots and make their own mark. You didn't leave me anything memorable that I hadn't already seen done mostly better in another movie. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, I agree. So, that's what I'm saying.
But I liked it. I mean, I really did like it. I enjoyed it, and I think it's beautiful and stunning, and people that want to be animators should study this film, because it's a huge achievement in film. It's a huge leap forward in film, just not the magic that the original, now clunky, animated movie is.
Yeah, it didn't have the same heart and passion. The story, the core of the story is still there. So, and if you've seen the original and you had the emotional impact of the exact same story, you have to think about what is it that went wrong here that took me out of it, that took some of that emotion away from me.
There's a kid behind... it's just like Black Panther.
Oh, all right.
The stories are similar. People said that when Black Panther came out. It's almost like just The Lion King. It was funny that a kid said that.
I guess so. I think you were going to say like visually or something. I was like, well, I don't really see that, but.
Yeah, didn't you see when he donned the costume and he just started kicking ass on the train? That was a weird scene, but they threw it in there for the hell of it. No, about the overcoming, taking your mantle, thwarting the guy who just took.
I guess I never thought of comparing the two.
That's the thing that was on the internet. I didn't get it either, but you hear a kid say it. I'm like, no, kid. This movie was out a long time before Black Panther.
That's funny.
Yeah. Okay. Anything else you want to talk about with Lion King?
No, I feel like we went over all of the pain points and the things that I really liked about it. So
I don't know if you talked about anything you liked.
Yes, I did.
Just Timon and Pumbaa.
That was my favorite thing.
Did you like Scar?
I did. I didn't like him at first. Literally the whole quarter beginning of the movie felt so weak to me. But at some point, it started to come around. It felt like they needed to find their footing. I don't know if that was like they just needed to redo some takes or something. But once the characters started to progress.
Keystrokes.
Sure.
Yeah.
Once they started to progress, I was like, you're selling me more and more as time goes on. It just took a lot longer than I would have expected to get into it. But Scar, I felt from the beginning, was a strong character for the most part. It was just the whole surrounding him wasn't great.
Yeah, I thought he was great.
But he stood out. And that's a good thing. When you can stand out.
He was great.
I liked his voice.
My only thing with him was like the same problem I had with the original movie. I just feel like, why did you just own it? Why didn't you just make him eat it? You had him beat. You don't need to gloat. But that was his downfall, you know, yeah. Gloating. That's why you don't brag about when you killed somebody's father. Duh.
Yeah. And that's exactly why you don't take the time to like tell. So, like, if you would just
don't
not take the time. Yeah, exactly. When you're about to kill someone, don't have the conversation because that's how you lose.
Hypothetically,
of course.
Don't do such
things. We would never advise you to do that.
Mm-mm.
Especially when we're talking about a child.
But I'm telling you what, if I happen to be on a cliff and I'm fighting somebody and I got them in the wind spot where I'm going to win, that's what I'm talking about. I'm not having a conversation. I'm just going to be like biting at them or whatever he did or should have done. You know, and then they fall to death. That's what I'm going to do. I will have the conversation as I watch them fall into the fire pit below. I'm like, I killed your dad. Sucker. All right. Well, that is The Lion King. I think that was, people are saying that that's the movie to beat this summer. I don't think it's my favorite movie this summer. It's a good movie, but it's not the movie to beat this summer. And you know what I've realized? I have a hard time giving that a word to something that's already been done in a way. Anyway.
Yeah.
Yeah. But so if $10 is a full price of admission, what do you give The Lion King?
I'm going to give this one $7.
I'm right in line. Yeah, $7. Yeah. Sounds right. A lot of that is toward the animation for me personally.
Hey,
soundtrack took a hit because I like the soundtrack for the original better.
Yeah, I will agree with that for sure. But the Hakuna Matata was so good.
That's just the perfect song.
It is. But it wasn't even just like... It wasn't even just the song, which we've heard before. It was everything about it. There was so much energy mm-hmm. behind the song from every single person.
They believed it.
Yeah, they did. And I was like, oh, man, I'm so into this. And the way that we were the story unfolded for them to use the Hakuna Matata and how they executed it while they were singing. Everything was just so there was so much energy in that entire sequence. And I loved it. I thought it was great.
You know how I know that song works? Because I hate fart jokes. I don't find them funny. Never have.
Ditto.
It's funny. I laughed. I'm like, haha, that was good.
Especially when he was so cute and he was sitting there in this little water. He's like, bloop, bloop. And then they all leave.
We've all been there. Am I wrong? We've all been there.
Oh, and I loved his little redemption story, too, where he was like, I don't remember exactly what he said, but he was like, but I won't take it from a bully. And he was like, vroom, vroom. That's great.
I will run from hyenas, but I will never run from a bully.
That's what it was.
That goes back to cheesy, but he pulled it off.
I didn't think it was that cheesy.
Okay. All right. I do have to, before we go, this is a very important story element that I have to talk about. I love the connection to the circle of life theme.
Oh, God.
But following the hair.
I'm so glad you brought this
all the way through the poo factory. to where the monkey grabs it after it breaks out of some poo because some beetles crack it out of poo. And then and by the way, I just got to point this out. He holds it up, looks at it, and goes, Simba is alive. What the hell are you talking about?
How do you know? You know, somehow the fecal matter didn't overwhelm the smell of the hair.
He did a monkey DNA test by holding it up. And apparently he's got a black light in his eyes or something. He's like, Simba's alive. And he runs over to the tree and he's like wiping off the, he's dead blood or whatever, and he's like, no, he's good. He's good, guys. Simba's alive.
Oh my God, it was so ridiculous, and it lasted for so long.
I thought it was done, and then we see Beatles pushing poop down a hill, and I'm like, are they actually following the hare? They are.
I was like, oh, I was hoping they weren't going to do this. Oh my God, they're doing this. And then it like crumbles into pieces, and I'm like, we did not even need all of this.
And he picks it up, doesn't wash his hands afterward. Forget that. But I mean, it's a monkey in the jungle. What are you going to do? He gets it so close to his face, and I'm like, can't you smell it? Can't you smell the circle of life? It's right in front of your face. Ew.
Also, how did the... Tell me what is wrong with the digestive system of the creature that ingested the hair.
That happens,
that it didn't
though.
Break down at all.
Obviously.
It was still in the same clump.
You have never had a dog, because that happens.
It was
all the time.
Too much.
Sometimes if a dog gets into too much, like hair or carpet fibers or anything like that, or wrappers, its poop will come out. It'd be like a little handle.
Okay, but so after the poop and it still separates, the hairs are all still perfectly intact, the same shape.
Because they're Simba's hairs. Only Simba's hairs could withstand the entire circle of that life.
They all have the same hair color. How did he know?
He knew. I don't know. It's one of my favorite moments of any movie ever, because I'm just sitting there going, wait, what?
It was ridiculous. I seriously, no joke, I put my head in my hand and I put my head down and I was like, I cannot believe this is happening right now.
Well, I will tell you, my wife was laughing and she's like, what just happened? I'm like, I don't know, but that was beautiful. That's a beautiful moment. That is cinema. That's a cinematic achievement right there.
Mm.
They should get the Oscar just for that, because I'm sitting there going, that makes no sense to me at all. But it just happened. And somebody at Disney okayed that. You know what? Hang on, Johnny. I think this is going to work. I think it's a good idea.
7 minutes? 7 minutes? Yes. Can we make it longer,
though? Can we follow the hair blowing around through deserts? And if that was in the original movie, I don't remember that. Because that
it was
feels...
like dust or something, I think.
Yeah, I remember that. Like it blew and I don't know. I can't remember
It was
that.
Not hair. That went through an animal's poop.
The whole track.
That happened to get picked up by beetles. That turned into a bug's life. Okay, that was the thing that got me the most. The line of little insects that were taking all of their food and their flowers and whatever. And then they had like the clump of hair. I'm like, why are we in a bug's life right now?
I don't know. 5 minutes of poop talk. All right, so that's going to do it. If $10 is full price mission, you give it $7. I give it $7. Go see Lion King. I think you're going to enjoy it. We might have...
Take your kids.
We might have nitpicked it some.
Yeah. A lot.
Were there kids, a lot of kids at yours?
Yeah.
Were they loud?
I think I was probably louder.
I like movies like this when kids get excited.
I do too.
So
yeah, I'm fine
I
with it.
That. Yeah. That's the only time I'm okay with you talking in a theater, people, is if you have kids and they're getting excited about it. Not the crying, whiny, you should have taken them outside 5 minutes ago, like talk. I'm talking, yay, ooh, ha, ha, ha. That's fun. That's great. I love that.
Also, but like maybe before you take your kids to a movie, take off their light up shoes.
Why? So they're not walking through the theater like light, light,
especially
light,
if
light,
you're
light.
Gonna stand right at, like, let's be honest, they stood right in front of us, the whole family, and their light up shoes are just like flickering, and I'm like, the whole movie's going. We're seriously at the
we got
they're
a disco
holding
ball
Simba
in front of us.
Over the cliff, and we have a disco ball in front of us, and I was like, maybe not.
And at the end of the movie, the monkey holds him over the cliff again, and now he's older, obviously older. At some point, aren't we concerned about, like, he shouldn't be holding babies over cliffs like this? Like, he's elderly. I don't know. All right, guys, well, the next time you go see The Lion King in a theater near you, buy popcorn. Then go home and watch the original, because it's better.